You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your hosts, Adam Thorne and Mark Hampton.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
All right, JRE review listeners, we have a very special edition today, which I am pretty excited about. This is trying out something quite new.
Woohoo!
Where we are reviewing, in a sense, with all due respect, Dave Chappelle's new stand-up special, Sticks and Stones.
Why are we doing this?
Well, Joe went on tour with Chappelle recently. Chappelle is the best stand-up at this time. And there's been a fuck ton of controversy with this. And I think it's an important time to talk about it and discuss just what's been going on.
We wanted to do this before we even knew it was going to be controversial. We just... Oh, should we talk about like our how we're going to do a special episodes every week?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
Do it. Jump in.
Yeah, so we were talking, you know, it's like we love doing reviewing the, you know, doing JRE, we love reviewing that. We thought it kind of be cool to do some like special episodes where we're talking about subjects that are close to Joe's heart. So, you know, 1 week we're going to do conspiracies, 1 week we're going to do MMA. I won't be there for that one because I know nothing. So Adam will do that with a guest host. 1 week we'll do politics because, you know, Joe's into politics. And then we're going to do random special shit. Anything that kind of strikes our fancy, all under the guise of, you know, what Joe loves to talk about. And it's going to be cool. So it's not going to be a review of an episode, but it's going to be still topical.
Well, I think it's important.
I think it's going to be fun.
To do it that way as well, because for things like the election coming up, right? When an election is about to come up, Joe obviously has more political guests on, people running, other political, you know, news, bloggers, whatever. So he starts to generate, like, his understanding of what's happening, and people learn from that. And then, in a sense, we're just kind of reviewing and summarizing as a bit of a catch-up of, like, okay, where are we at with this? Like, at this time, what is happening? Instead of, oh, he just had a monkey trainer on, let's just talk about this for that week.
Right. You know?
It helps me stay more informed. I hate to have big guests on, and then for whatever reason, I just jump onto the next guest so quick. I forget, like, what the point of that week was. Somebody was talking to me about Tulsi Gabbard stuff in relationship to politics. And I really liked it when she was on, and I couldn't remember almost the fucking thing that she stood for. And I reviewed that one. Now, I'm a bit of an idiot, and I do listen to far too many podcasts, and maybe it just got deleted. But I think it's nice just to summarize them up. We'll find out. Let's get into this one. Mark, initial thoughts.
Sticks and Stones. Initial thoughts. Not my favorite Chappelle show. My favorite special. My favorite special of his is Equanimity. But I thought it was very interesting because I felt like he came out swinging against, and I mentioned this to you earlier this week, it felt like he came out swinging against people that were telling him what types of jokes he could make. And this is a big thing right now in stand-up, especially with your old school comics, who are kind of sick and tired of being told that this isn't funny, or you can't make jokes about this, you can't make jokes about that. You can talk about Seinfeld, who won't go on college campuses. You talk about Bill Maher, who thinks people are too PC and that people need to have more of a sense of humor. Kathy Griffin, who made a questionable joke about the current president of the United States. It's, you know, and you've mentioned this to me many times, First Amendment, it's like freedom of speech type stuff, but comedy is the most, at least in my opinion, the most ever-evolving art form. And you have to, as an artist, as a comic, feel free to go anywhere and do anything. And as Chappelle says, as a policy, I don't feel bad about anything I say on this stage. And I feel like he got some pushback from certain groups about equanimity, specifically the transgender jokes. And I think this was his point of saying, I will do whatever the fuck I want, and you can't stop me. And obviously there was blowback, and I'll let you bring up the Rotten Tomatoes numbers, but there's some blowback, but I think it proved his point, that he went in to make jokes, because that's what they say. Ultimately, we're making jokes. We're making jokes.
I think that's the key for him, at the end of the day, is that when he says, I'll say whatever the fuck I want, this isn't your racist uncle talking. He'd be like, look, Uncle John,
no,
maybe don't say whatever the fuck you want at this wedding, because you're horrendous. And if you get too drunk, I don't actually have a racist Uncle John.
Exactly.
By the way, so this isn't anybody in particular, but it's true. What we're talking about here is one of the greatest stand-ups of all time, giving him the freedom to say whatever he wants. The hope is that he crafts something really intelligent, along with it is somewhat offensive, but it's not offensive for offensive sake. I don't believe. I think it's like.
Right.
Testing yourself to turn something that mocks a certain type of person, but then makes a point.
Pushing to
does it in a way that you're like, oh shit, that's funny.
Exactly. Well, and he throws in social commentary there, and that's very interesting. Anyway, what were your thoughts on it? I want to hear your thoughts on it.
I loved it, man. Come on. I loved it because, like, was I laughing harder than I ever have with a stand-up special? No, because I think in some ways I had to pay more attention.
Right.
It was very clever, you know? I mean, when I watched his first stand-up special, I was a lot younger. Really young. My total I wasn't as invested in society as a whole. I was just a kid having fun with my friends, and silly observations cracked me up. And it's the silly ones that just, you know, you laugh from one point to the next. I mean, he had that whole skit before where he was in the cab and he was in a cab and he went to like some crack den and that's it. And it was
the hood, gun store, liquor store, exactly, gun store. Right? Where the fuck you taking me? Like, yeah,
it's very silly. He's making a point about the hood, but at the same time, I just felt like this one was. Not TED talky, because that takes away from how funny it was, but it was, he had a message to get across. He was even speaking differently than he had in the past. He was like, listen, I need to fucking talk about this. And
just opening
and
he up
knows
with
his reach is so much more powerful than it was. Like, people were waiting to hear what he had to say. Whereas before, it was like, oh, this fucking dude's funny. I can't wait to listen to this. Blah, blah, blah. So that's how it was different for me. And I loved it from start to finish. I thought his metaphors were brilliant. You know, obviously some people were going to get annoyed. But I mean, my girlfriend is very sensitive to she's young, she's a woman, she's very liberal.
Right.
She has plenty of friends in all different communities. You know, we don't need to express that more. And, you know, she doesn't...
She's a minority.
She doesn't find a lot of things funny. But unless they're really well-crafted. I mean, if I just...
Right.
Off the cuff, you know what it's like when you're just with your girlfriend and you happen to write and perform stand-up, you're gonna say some silly things sometimes, and they're probably way more fucked up than they would be when you're on stage, for sure. You're just testing
100%
this person that loves you, and she so often just gives me a look like,
of course,
are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. And I'm like, okay, that was poorly crafted, and I apologize. And you know, maybe I did have too many margaritas today. But when she starts laughing...
Katie's
when most... she starts laughing at a bit that I feel like she almost wanted to get mad at, I'm like, oh, he nailed it. And that happened a ton. Like, yeah. She really did enjoy it. I don't know if she would admit that, but she really did like it a lot.
Yeah, Katie's the thing she says to me the most often in our relationship is, no, you can't say that. You can't say that. You can't say that. Like, why? Because she's like, because you make me laugh at horrible things.
Which means there's something to it, right? It's not the horrible thing. It's the way you brought it up. And it almost does kind of disarm the tension of the whole commentary anyway. It's like, to think that you can, you know, they say, don't bring up religion and politics at parties. It's very true. Because people are drinking and they get all tense about it, and it's the worst. But if you...
Oh my god. This dude wanted to fight me once because I was in support of a higher minimum wage. Wanted to fight me.
People are nuts. And they do. They get really excited. But if you bring people it up in nuts. A way to where you're actually being very funny, you're kind of constantly disarming. It's like you've got a pressure valve and you're just constantly undoing it. And Chappelle was relentless in this one. I mean, he went from one
relentless
kind of really controversial thing to another and just go, 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 go. And remember the last one he did last year? I like the fact that he didn't have his vape pen with him this time. You know? Like last year he got high as fuck.
Although I missed it.
Maybe he was high for this one. But I think this one, in a way, meant more to him. He just seemed really intense
in some way
about getting some of his points across. I think they've been hammering him since last year.
I think they have, too. I think he's over it. I think that was the whole damn point. I think he was completely and utterly sick of being told what's funny, what you can and can't say, what you can and cannot joke about. I think he was like, I can do whatever I want.
That people would tell a comedian what's funny, especially one of the best ones of all time.
Oh, God. And you and I have seen it across the board. It's like, well, I don't think you're really that funny, or it wasn't funny to me, blah, 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 blah. It's like, shut the fuck up. Then don't watch. I mean, he even said that. I didn't make you click my face, people watching on Netflix. I didn't make you watch this. I didn't make you do it. Yeah. I mean, there were some... And there were some controversial things going after Louis C.K.'s victims. You know, that was the one time I don't want to say I prickled up, but I was like, oh, that one hurts. That one hurts because that's a hard one to defend. I'll defend his right to say it until the end of time. But that one kind of hurts because Louis C.K. was a fucker. And it wasn't just what he did. It wasn't just him jerking off in front of people. It wasn't just that, although that was terrible. But the fact that they threatened to destroy these people's careers and did, like, drove them out of comedy, did those things to those people because they felt assaulted and they didn't like it and they were going to say something and they're like, well, we'll ruin your career. That was where it became unforgivable.
I didn't know that. I haven't followed, like, the dirt and the details of that story. What I did notice, though, is the comics that knew CK the best, like Sarah Silverman, and I mean, she's not exactly one for... I mean, she's a very liberal person that obviously supports women and promotes them, and you know, she knew Louis very well, and a lot of these people did jump to support her. I mean, him. And it happened to her, and when she kind of explained it, it was I don't know where I stand with it. I just don't have enough information, and I'm not jumping on it. Look, it doesn't sound good, but you can't forget it wasn't illegal. Period. And does that make it okay? No, you can call someone calling someone a cunt.
No, it doesn't make it okay. That's not the bar.
Illegal. I'm pretty sure. I don't think that you can just cuss right at somebody's face.
No, you can. You can. You can't do it like in. You can't do it in, like, court, because that's contempt of court and shit. But
but there's certain things you can say to somebody, and it actually allows you legally to physically attack them back. Like, if somebody walked up to you at a restaurant and just berated you to your face, and, like, especially if it was, like,
racial,
anti-Semitic or something like this, you're allowed to do something about it. So not all language is protected.
Right.
And yeah, look, I'm making a stupid point that I'm not trying to defend him either, okay? I'm just not. But I am surprised at how many comedians that I've only ever heard good things from, that through their comedy, I believe that they're well-thought-out, compassionate people, and I think that they are willing to immediately walk away from a quote-unquote monster, and they're pretty good about sticking up for him, and in some ways. I mean, look, none of them are saying it was cool.
Well, let's... Right, well, let's think of it like this. You and I are really close friends. Let's say one of these allegations came out about you or me. And so let's say it came out about you. Something horrendous. So let's say it's the exact same thing Louis C.K. did. And it comes out, and somebody comes to me, and they ask me, what do you think? What do you think about this allegation, this accusation? There's no way I'm going to just sit there and go, oh, well, I'm going to have to disavow Adam, because I'd be like, well, that doesn't really jive with the Adam I know. At the same time, maybe I don't know him as well as I thought I did, if this is the actual truth of what happened. But this doesn't jive with who he is as a person and the way I know him. So I have my doubts right now. I could very well be wrong. That's not a wrong thing to say. Another example the other day, Scarlett Johansson was asked about the whole Woody Allen thing. She's worked with Woody Allen several times, and they asked her about it, and she goes, I've talked with him, I don't believe it, and I would keep working with him. So where do we get to the point where you must believe the victims? And I definitely think victims have been denied respect for forever. Like,
but think about what you're saying right
at the same time.
And sorry to interrupt, but you're saying victims forever have been denied. So these ones should be listened to more.
Right.
Well, they should be listened to the same, but they should just be listened to.
Well, I'm not... Well, they should be listened to, and, like, you know, I think we're getting to the point now where it's like, more often than not, people aren't coming forward with bullshit. They're coming forward with actual facts, because it's really difficult for people to come forward. So when they do, they should at least be listened to and given the benefit of the doubt, yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, I can't be mad at somebody who's a friend of someone, because people put these celebrities and things in a different stratosphere. They put them as if they're almost not people. They're just like these images that play characters in movies that we enjoy. Well, when they're really actually people, and when you think about it, it's your best friend, it's entirely possible that he did it, but it's difficult to wrap your head around the idea that someone who you're close with could have done these terrible things. So the natural inclination is to defend your friend, which I don't think people should be admonished for. I just don't. Simply because they have the bully pulpit and people listen to them, I don't think they should be admonished for listening to their friends and defending their friends, wrong or right. And I think most of these people, if you come forward with the evidence saying, hey, celebrity A did this, they'll be like, well, then that wasn't okay, and I'm not cool with it. And I don't defend that, and I don't defend them for it. But it's a natural instinct to defend someone you care and love and care about. That's where I am. So I just feel, and I feel like we're in this culture, and tying it back to sticks and stones, we're in this culture of, you say one shitty thing, you say one bad thing in your past, whenever, you have to go away. This is when James Gunn did it with his shitty tweets from 10 years ago, and he was fired off Guardians of the Galaxy. Or, you know, I'm trying to think who else, I can't think of another example, but people say these whack things, and then they have to go away. Bill Maher,
well, Kevin Hart
as well.
Kevin Hart and Dave Chappelle, the gay tweet.
Yeah, Kevin Hart. Yes, exactly, with the gay tweets. And, you know, it was like, they have to go away, and it's like, why does everyone have to go away? God damn it. We live in an age where everything we do is recorded and put online, and it's like, human beings stew and say stupid shit all the time. It's just what we do. I just feel like there's less room for forgiveness, and I feel like there's the state of affairs in the world right now has something to do with it, but I don't know. I'm just I'm not in love with this idea that people have to go away because they said one dumb thing, or they made a gay joke 10 years ago when everybody made gay jokes, or, you know, they made a joke about women 10 years ago.
And obviously far less of an issue than some dude jerking off in front of you and making you feel real uncomfortable.
100%.
Look, it's definitely super fucked up. And I almost feel like I'm kind of surprised that there's not some, like, illegal action in there. It almost feels like, I guess he didn't, like, force them to not get out of the room, but can't you just feel like you're stuck in a room? I mean, pressures come from all different directions.
Oh, absolutely, especially, let's say, you know, Sarah Silverman or Whitney Cummings grabbed us, and they were like, you know, and made us, we're up-and-coming comics. It would be very, because you're sitting there in the moment when this shocking act is happening, and your normal reaction would be to run, but you're also thinking, this person could destroy my career, could torpedo everything I've worked for, and it's all going through your mind within a split second. What do I do? Oh, God. And so you probably, I think the natural inclination would just be to kind of sit there. Be like, I don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do. This is happening. This is not what I expected. And then when you have time to process, you're like, that's fucked up. That shouldn't have happened to me. And then the minute you even think about saying something to anyone you might even consider an ally, if it somehow gets back to the other camp and they're like, we'll destroy your fucking
How
career.
Sure are you that? What is this destroying? Like, Louis did this? Or, like, a manager? Louis, like, straight up contacted him and was like, you're fucking done.
Louis's team did. Louis's team did. With, like, I think it was, like, 20 women that came forward and said, yeah, I was told if I said anything, they would ruin my career.
That's almost the worst part of it. I'm way less annoyed about masturbation. If he was, like, just infinitely sad afterwards, like, look, I'm really sorry, I'm a bit of a weirdo with that, but, it's cool and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully don't get mad and I apologize and, you know.
Right. I mean, look, sexual dysfunction is a huge problem. And even though these women were clearly violated because that's bullshit, then, you know, because that wasn't consensual. You can look at it as disease or dysfunction or something. And that's something you could truly be humble about. Seek help, apologize, and
all right. So you said you went from hating him for what he did, and then without skipping a beat, you went to you know, there should be a road for redemption or whatever. So if that is it, could Louis have one?
No. I think there's a road.
He's done.
No, I think he could. There would be a road for redemption if all he did was jerk off in front of these chicks. So good dysfunction. Whatever, like, look, I had a problem, I'm getting better,
so the
please
threat.
Accept my apology, please forgive me, blah, blah, blah. But when he came out, and that was calculated, it was like, I will destroy you. No, for me, there's no path to redemption after that.
Fair enough.
None.
Fair enough, yeah. I mean, look, for man, me. It's totally cool for people to make those sorts of opinions on things, and it sounds like you know quite a bit about the whole situation. Yeah.
Yeah, I read a bit about it. It was a big thing. It was a big thing at the time.
That is the key, though.
He was one of my favorite comics. And like a savant with comedy. He was genius. Although now you look back on some of his shows, and they're a little more uncomfortable knowing what he did. It's a little more. I'm like, when he talks about like masturbating and all the sexual. I mean, he talked about his sexual dysfunction in his act. And things like
it's
that.
It's kind of
and
hard
to
not
like, hear.
I mean, you know what's weird? It's almost
it's
easier
gross.
To watch Bill Cosby's old stuff, though that's still not really possible. Because he was so clean that he's so far away. But I mean, if he was just rambling on about giving people drinks that made them sleepy over and over, it would be, you know what I mean? Even if first, when you first heard it, you were like, oh, that's funny and completely just innocuous. And now you could connect it. Problem is, Louis is so dark that it's easy to connect this like dark thing that he had in him to it.
Right.
And it's going to be very difficult for him to ever come out with a special again, I think. It's going to be real tough.
Oh, nigh impossible. I mean, sure, there's still people that would buy it, and because there's fuck, people out there still, that I'd still give a watch fuck it. What he did.
I mean, and I don't watch everyone's stand up, but he still is
sure
a genius of comedy, even if he is a freaky masturbator and female threatener. Now, so with that right being said, what was the importance of one, Dave addressing this, and the other comics sticking up for him? I mean, you made the point that it's just, well, this is their friends. Like you were saying about me, if you heard about me, you wouldn't, this isn't the Adam I know.
Right.
They all knew he did this shit. It had either happened right to them as well, mm-hmm, so they'd experienced it firsthand, like with Sarah Silverman, or they just, like, they knew. This wasn't like a, and to say people should have been like, well, why didn't anyone say anything? What are you going to say? It wasn't illegal. People do some weird shit.
Right.
I could tell you 50 right random things that aren't illegal from people that shit we just work with. And it would sound fucked up, but nobody will do anything. What is anyone going to do except be like, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. You know, it's all, and I'm sure, I mean, a lot of this was behind closed doors, so they probably had an inkling that something weird was going on.
Yeah, literally.
But you also, sometimes, doors, you know, you're up in, right, yeah. I mean, sometimes you turn a blind eye because it's like, these things, they're not in your stratosphere, they're not happening to you. And you can't fight every injustice in the world. You just,
but what would
do
you
it
do? What would you do if this was there me? And let's just say a girl came up to you and was like, not even all that shaken up, right? Let's just take that example, because you can't imagine everyone was mm-hmm as shaken up as, yeah, I'm sure plenty of people were. But if somebody was just like a bit creeped out and was like, ugh, that was a bit weird. And yet I was chatting to her at the bar earlier. And then, you know, I mean, do you just come up to me and go, dude, you got to stop this shit. Go to therapy.
Well, it would. No, I think the first thing I'd be like, yo, this broad said this. Did this, what, like, first of all, why is she bothering me with it? Because, like, who am I? But, like, second of all, I'd be like, what's going on there? And then I'd listen to your side of the story, and if it was any way corroborated it in any way, I'd be like, dude, you can't fucking do that anymore. That would be exactly what I would say. Like, that's disgusting. You can't fucking don't fucking do that.
Right.
What are you thinking? You know, and we'd have a talk about it. Obviously, you're a jiu-jitsu master and a kung fu master.
Relax, I have a blue belt. It's just a blue belt. Relax. Don't say that. I'll get to my school and these black belts will pull my head off. So
that's exactly what I would do. I'd go to your school and be like, you know, Adam was talking to him shit. And they'd be like, oh, for real? And they'd smoke you.
It's still very difficult, though. It'd,
no,
it'd
be
a very odd thing.
I'd be
and
real.
And I
you
think the real difficulty
it
is it's not as black and white as that. Somebody doesn't just walk up to somebody
of
who's that
not
guy's
is
best friend, and then that person turns around and says, I directly need to deal with this, assuming that I wouldn't either defend it, dismiss it, or lie about it, and make that woman look like a bit
right
of an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, if it's something you're kind of ashamed of anyway,
mm-hmm,
you might just be like, oh, that bitch. She
right
didn't, nah, dude, she's being stupid. She didn't know what she was
of course
talking about. She loved it. She wanted that. She asked me to do it. You'd be like, wait, what? I don't really know her, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to go about this.
Well, I can definitely tell you what I'd do. If we were public figures in a certain way and somebody came to me and asked me my opinion about it, I'd be like, look, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Adam is my really good friend. But more than anything, why are you asking me? Like, why do I personally have to make a public statement? Like, I feel very bad for whomever was hurt in this whole scenario. And that's terrible, but why do I have to make a public statement? Like, why do I have
yeah
to do with it? Because
that's,
I know the guy?
That's kind of it, though.
No,
I mean, look,
like,
even in the special, Chappelle pointed out
mm-hmm
his reporter's conversation about, what's his name? The one that pisses on the kids. Yeah. And he's like,
R.
I don't
Kelly
even know
yeah
the dude.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he got criticism for
I don't
it
know
so
the dude.
So if you know them, like you would know me, I think you do need to, and
right
the why is that you're also famous, and people would care about your opinion. Not that we are, and also, to be clear, not that I did this, so maybe we should stop even saying this, because I'm getting uncomfortable.
Right. No, Adam did not do that, Adam. It's as long as
I
I've known you, you've been a straight-up dude.
Do shit like that. So yeah, I think that's what
no
what it is, and I'm just still curious, you know, it just... it's curious. Like, obviously people protect people and friends do that, and I think that maybe it's even their way of trying to come to grips with something that a good friend of theirs did, someone that they really care about, and they just can't imagine it being as bad as it is. And I'm sure he's defended himself by saying, listen, it was more like this than like that. And that's persuasive. Mm-hmm. Comedians are persuasive. They're good with language. So I think it's just awkward Absolutely. And tricky. But my concern is this, right? And we're really fucking beating this one to death.
Sure.
But, these are the kind of ways I wanted to talk about the special, though. Because I don't want to go over his jokes. I don't want to give away premises. Like, that would be so disrespectful. I'd rather go into the importance and of like, the bits and why they're intense.
Agree. Well, in the culture... It has cultural relevance. This special had cultural relevance immediately. And that
I feel like
is worthy of discussion.
They need to change a law to make this actually an illegal act. And then, you know, not that you can prosecute him after the fact, but make that happen, right? Because what's the point? What's the point of just being mad at Louis? It's not going to stop anyone from doing this in the future if they want to do exactly the same thing. And they don't ever become famous, so no one gives a shit about the fact that they locked people in a room and jerked off into a flower pot. But also the fact that, okay, it's not illegal, yet there's no room for redemption. There's no way back because it's too fucking creepy. Then what is that? No one can ever come back. Almost no one can, like, you can come
Again,
back for
I think
one tweet? Okay, you're allowed to tweet, maybe. That there's a road of redemption there.
Sure, yeah. Well, and it also comes down to, so, I mean, you could definitely make the case that some of these jokes that Chappelle made, some people would be, if you tweeted him or whatever, some people would be like, you can't come back from that. But I feel like part of it is his attitude. He's like, try and stop me. Like, because he went in not with just like, oh, I've made these jokes, and then there was backlash, and he was like, oh my God, I can't believe there's so much backlash over jokes. He went in and was like, bring the backlash. And I feel like that was a calculated
yeah,
moment.
He just knew it was going to happen. Honest. I mean, I have an article in front of me right now, and it says, What happened to Dave Chappelle? The cruelty of sticks and stones is a sign of the times. And then it just goes into, like, how dare you make 9/11 jokes, or how all these, like, because, and they make, how they reference it, right? For example, take 9/11 jokes, okay? And maybe, you know, it was a horrendous thing. I remember when it happened. I've never felt so shaken up. I was afraid of flying on planes for like 2 years. I straight up had PTSD from an event I was nowhere a part of. It was horrific. And, you know, but they make the point that in this article, you shouldn't make jokes about it because 3,000 people died. And, you know, that's kind of their point. I'm like, well, hold on. You shouldn't make jokes about it because the people died, so no jokes about anything when people die, because obviously some people will get upset. There is a bit of a point to that, but work harder than that. If you're writing an article, and what is this magazine? Let me see. Oh, the Salon. I don't know. It's probably a shit magazine, but
it's Salon. Well, Salon is super liberal. There's no way they would ever like.
Yeah, well,
Dave Chappelle's stand up.
I mean, but that's not true. In the 90s, they would have. He's a liberal guy, and he's a black dude.
Not Salon.
I mean, you know, it's not like he's a Republican comic, but now it's like everyone is fucking...
No, exactly.
Like, their guns are blazing, man. They're upset
Which
with
is
everyone.
Why he did it. Which is why he did it. Yep. No, because you... And I'm super liberal, but you have the feeling police out there. Sometimes people aren't going to like what you say. That's just how it is. So there's probably a lot of people listening to the show that don't like what I say, but that's...
Yeah, how often do you not like what I say?
Tough.
I throw
Feelings
some jokes at you.
Feelings
and
get hurt.
Sometimes you just look at me and go, no, Adam.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, see ya. You're like, no, I'm afraid. No. I mean, it happens.
It's true. I mean, that's just... feelings are going to get hurt. You cannot stop the world from being bullied. There, you know, I think a lot of it is in response to certain bullies in the public eye that we feel powerless against. And I think sometimes that's a response to that. But you can't stop feelings from being hurt. They're gonna, it's gonna happen. Like, and I always say, come get that best medicine when I'm promoting my shows, because laughter is the best medicine. That's how we deal with things. Sometimes we make jokes to make ourselves feel better that might hurt a feeling or two, but you know what? Feelings heal fast. Like, feelings heal immediately the minute you stop thinking about them. You know what I mean? It's just kind of...
unless you're a huge bitch,
we gotta get over it. We gotta...
I mean, if you're a massive pussy, you're going to sit around crying
about... You have way bigger problems.
...what so-and-so said to you for a long time.
But you have way bigger problems than just a joke, if that's the point. Look, I was a kid that was bullied my whole fucking life when I was younger. I was a skinny, meek, artistic kid who was just kind of in my own world. I get bullied all the time. I'm okay. I'm fucking okay because of it. And sometimes feelings get hurt, and then you get over it. But they're just jokes. Like, I feel people... I think part of the whole thing is that people take this shit too seriously. It's just jokes. Just sit back. If you don't want to laugh, don't laugh. But Lord Jesus. Like, you were telling me about that Wall Street Journal article that basically said maybe stand-up shouldn't be allowed to do
any
of this,
it was,
right? Wasn't it something like that?
Stand-up comedy should not be politically incorrect. And that is so bizarre. It's almost like, okay, so there's a politically correct board, and they set rules, and then you,
it's illegal
to joke about it? That would be a very, very strange world.
Right. We cannot name one politically correct comic. I can think of one, Brian Regan. That's it. He's the only one I can think of. And even Gaffigan makes jokes that are not always politically correct. He never curses and stuff, but I mean... He talks about his wife, and he talks about, you know, dating women and stuff like that. You could definitely think to, or at least come to the conclusion that, you know, they were anti-women, or not anti-women, but in that
realm. What about
Seinfeld?
You
can't find it. That's just
pretty politically correct.
Yeah, but even he won't even go on college campuses because people thought he wasn't politically correct enough. He's like, I won't do it anymore. They made me cut jokes. I mean, I've read articles about campuses saying you have to cut these jokes because they might offend, blah, blah, blah. And this is not me calling everybody a snowflake. That's not what I'm doing. But I am saying that sometimes, you know, it's like your immune system. Sometimes you got to get sick for your immune system to get stronger. And it's kind of like sometimes you need to listen to contrarian viewpoints and some salacious things. Because it makes you tougher. Because you can't just go around the world like you're wrapped in bubble wrap. You can't. I mean, you just. It's going to be rough.
Now,
and it clearly is rough.
So let me ask you this.
It clearly is rough for these people.
What is. Okay, so there's a few things happening, right? When people get upset about this stuff. You take an actor, right? You've got Leonardo DiCaprio.
Sure.
What is the Tango Unchained? Mm-hmm. Django. There we go. How many
Django
times
Unchained.
Does he say the N-word and get black guys to beat each other up? And like during the filming, I guess he was like struggling to say this. And Jamie Foxx was like, listen, man, you're an actor. Just fucking do it. You got to sell this role. Nobody afterwards was like, clearly he's a racist.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he didn't write the script. But let's say he did write it.
No.
Let's say he did write it. Let's
he
say he did
it.
Direct it. Be the same result. And people would be being like, oh, that was the most amazing.
100%.
The fact that he did all three of those things and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so... You write comedy, and you perform it. You're still kind of an actor, but you seem very real. Like, you're having a conversation at a dinner party, and you're the really cool, interesting, amusing one. And therefore, it makes the points that you make facts that you believe in, and this is 100% your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, and this is my second point, like, the concern is that what? You're changing people's minds? You're making them less
possibly
compassionate to whomever they're talking about. Does
possibly
that fucking happen? Who the fuck leaves a comedy set and they're like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to hang out with my gay friends anymore. Like, never, never.
Right.
I'm going to say that. Never. It doesn't work like that. Your brain is just laughing. I don't think that anyone's watching this going, that was a great TED talk. I need to change everything I know. If anything, I think you can learn something about just a different way of looking at a situation. usually they're disarming situations mm-hmm. rather than intensifying them. They're not like, yeah. it's not funny to be full of hate. Like, it would be tough to have a hate rally of stand-up comedy. Not. It just wouldn't really work.
It just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. I mean, like, you could try it. It just, it wouldn't, you'd bomb and never work again. I mean, that's essentially where it would
be. Something like that. I don't know. They just put so much more of the emphasis on the things that the comedian says, and no one's going, this is art. Like, mm-hmm. if you drew a picture, if you were an artist, and you drew, like, this weird picture that had, like, the remnants of some Soviet Lenin-Stalin-esque shit in the corner of it,
right.
and you didn't even really explain what it was about. Mm-hmm. It just, like, is a picture. And maybe you're known for, like, strange, right. odd political art that you don't ever kind of talk about. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it fair for a bunch of people to jump on and be like, that was a terrible time. Why would you even reference this? Why aren't you just drawing flowers and fields and people smiling?
Of course. Of course they don't, because we have no emotional connection to that anymore. So it doesn't hurt feelings. There you go. We have no emotional connection to it. That's why you can make World War II jokes. Like, you can make, I mean, because we have no emotional connection to it. It's so far in the past. I mean, you can make 9/11 jokes now. It just depends on how graphic it, because, I mean, it's the whole too soon, right? Too soon! It's too soon for those jokes. Our emotional connections need to dilute. They need to become less sensitive for us to accept humor.
What's the most offended you've ever seen somebody be at a comedy show? And I have a good story for this one, so... But I'm curious.
That's a good question. I don't know. Tell me your story. I don't feel like I've really seen anybody be offended at any of my shows. I mean, I've personally been offended by how bad some of the comics
have been. No, but I mean, not when you're performing. More about when you've been an audience member, because you can hear and you can pay more attention to their reaction, and you don't really do comedy that's going to get anybody to be like, "You fucking suck. That's some bullshit." Like, it's just you're not going to provoke anyone that much.
I do bits about Jewish raccoons. It's not incendiary.
I was at Delaney.
Yeah.
I went to see, what's his name?
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. My brain is like retarded. John Mulaney. There we go.
John Mulaney.
Yeah. I was at a little show in West Hollywood. It was a great little theater area. And did a really unique show, because he hosted it, and in between each comic, he would kind of come up and talk about the audience's reaction, and then kind of add to their jokes. Like, if he liked a bit of a set, he would come on and kind of do his own bit of a spin. It was strange, but it was not insulting, and it wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to be taking people's comedies. But it was cool, because it was like he was there to do an hour, but he did 10 minutes between each comic, which was cool, because he just got to work on his stories. Now, a lot of the people that showed up were women and were, the other comedians were like women, and but then Bill Burr was on there. Now, you know what kind of audience is Mulaney has.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there were plenty of like hipsters in the audience, plenty of feminist type people. You could see it. And this was many years ago when I first moved to LA, and this Jewish bird I knew took me, and she was very sensitive to those sorts of things too, but did like some comedy, but she didn't like a lot of different types of comedy that some of the people that I was into, she was massively opposed to. Like, I don't think she liked Jezelnik at all, which is easy to understand, because he says fucked up things.
Okay.
So we were there. Bill Burr comes out. He's doing his thing. Now, obviously, we've been primed on a lot of comedy already that works for everybody's sensibilities up until that point. And then, you know, Bill comes up and starts waffling on about his wife or women that he thinks are annoying. And I couldn't believe the reaction in there. Like, truthfully, like, groans. No.
Crickets.
Ugh, what can you remember? Yeah. Talking over him. And do what you want. Like, you have the right to do whatever you want. I mean, you can do it.
Sure.
And if you get kicked out, you get kicked out. But that wasn't that sort of place. I don't mind people getting offended. Get offended.
Right.
If you're not into the comedy, mm-hmm. I prefer if you just shut up. So maybe because
everybody else could hear it.
He or she or whoever it is just starting in a certain way. And maybe they're going to wrap up into something else. And it's maybe they're going to flip it back around on their head. Who knows? You don't know the direction that they're going to go. But Bill did his thing. Yeah. And then he just kind of stopped and just started talking about what the audience thinks about his jokes. And that was really interesting. Mm. He's like, look, I know you hate me. I know you hate these jokes. It was like straight up Bill Burr having to bomb. And I think he knew that it was going to be that sort of crowd. I think he wanted to test himself. I think he's that brave of a comic. Mm-hmm. I think Mulaney definitely sure. warned him about this, but was like, you can come if you want. I thought he was great. And he did. He did still get some solid zingers. I mean, if it was an open mic, you know, or just even a kind of a newer professional show, you'd still be like, oh, he did fucking great. I don't know why he was so worried about people not liking him. But then when you remember it's Bill Burr, who right. mostly only crushes, he is going to be slightly more sensitive exactly. to that. But this woman behind me
mm-hmm.
was there with a boyfriend, and she was just like, well, this is just disgusting. This is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, this is the problem. And just, like, I mean, loud, was into mm-hmm. it. I let her go. I didn't turn around and say, hey, do you mind just shut the fuck up for a minute? Because obviously she was already pissed off. I didn't want to make it worse. But
right, of course.
It was intense, yeah. dude. It was intense. It happens.
And that's a miserable experience for everyone. I've never been to... I mean, I've never been to a comedy show where the comic really offended anybody. Like, most of the... I've seen Eddie Izzard 5 times, I think, now. And he's never... I mean, he just doesn't do offensive humor, so I haven't really been in a scenario. I mean, I've certainly sat in my living room and laughed at jokes that my girlfriend looked at me like, really? And I'm like, oh, sorry? Ooh, I'm sorry. I should cover my mouth next time? Like, I'm chewing or something? But no, I haven't. But that's not a fun experience when you're sitting there with somebody that's not enjoying what you're enjoying. It diminishes the whole thing. But I think that speaks to a larger point. It's like, you don't have to like everything everybody does.
Yeah, and I mean...
You know what I mean?
He
that woman
yeah, doesn't have to be a Bill Burr. He has to stand there like, and perform solved. To her as a meter to like, okay, is there something that she's missing that I want to make a joke for? Maybe this is sure. also not my audience. Like, maybe... She's just like, he would have to Could change be. That joke so much that it wouldn't even be worth it to him mm-hmm. to get her to laugh, right? Because then to do maybe it. The mm-hmm. other end of the spectrum, he's got his other fans that would love the way that he's already set it up. And this wasn't new material either. I'd heard this material. I think some of it had been on his last special. I mean, this was perfectly constructed, well-practiced material. And it just wasn't going to land with
sure.
a lot of the people in the audience. Just didn't work. You know, so it's just testing
yeah.
those kind of limits. And that's the brutal thing about being it a stand-up is they, even the best guys have to put themselves out there a lot for this. They are the ones that leave in pain. To believe you that he to. Didn't leave feeling like shit is impossible. Mm-hmm. They don't go up there and just go, ah, well, oh, fuck them, bye.
He did.
Doesn't happen.
Well, when you're trying to make a point, and you're the type of comic Bill Burr is, if you try, sometimes you know, I mean, I call it essay comedy, and I feel like Chappelle did this in Sticks and Stones. It was trying to make a point through comedy. Sometimes it lands, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, sometimes you go back and you go, okay, how can I rework this to make it stronger? Blah blah blah. That's what I thought Chappelle did so well in Equanimity. I thought he was phenomenal, especially when he's talking about his transgender jokes and how he spun it around to talk about his own personal biases, which I thought was vulnerable and introspective and also hysterical. Didn't do that as much in Sticks and Stones, but I feel like, again, it was one of those things. It was like, I dare you to come after me. Like,
yeah,
I'm sick of this shit. And I feel like that's what it was. I think it was a response to that.
I thought equanimity was brilliant. I agree with what you say completely. But I didn't want him to do the same thing this time. Because if you notice his stand-ups, he changes in a lot of ways more than many other comedians. Like, he has some real silly ones where he's just being skinny, old, you know, well, young, I mean, but the, like, old style Dave where he's skinny and he's just like, oh man, shit, and he's jumping around and he does, and they're brilliant.
Right.
Right? And then he shows a different aspect of his,
exactly,
like, emotions and his character. Last year's stand-up specials, just like you said, very vulnerable. And this one, he came out with authority.
Very vulnerable.
And I think that's what annoyed people the most. He did. That got annoyed. I think that's what... They're like, how dare you? How dare you go against the frustration and basically hatred that these people are building, you know? They've worked hard to get people to hate everyone that speaks out against this community, this thing, that one. They're going around kicking people off Twitter.
Exactly.
They're writing articles like, you know, this is so 80s and you're so wrong and how dare you and all this super frustrated. I mean, they're just in a fucked up way. It sounds like it seems like they're battling for like righteousness. But this just is just a fuck ton of hatred.
100%.
A lot of it is. A lot of it is. It's just kind of hatred. They're just finding people to attack. It's nonsense.
Sure. Well, I always want to play devil's advocate in my own mind and try to come at things from where somebody else is coming from. Certainly. And we certainly know that there are certain minority groups who are sick of being the butt of jokes. So I get frustration. Your problem isn't with Dave Chappelle, though. Your problem isn't with Dave Chappelle or Bill Burr or anybody else. Like, and I feel like that if that type of mentality is in the mainstream, it promotes that
problem.
So I understand there could where be they're something coming to from, that, but for at sure. the same time, I'm like, yeah. I mean, I think we definitely have to look at it from that perspective. I definitely understand being a member of a group or a class of person that feels like you've always been the butt of jokes and you're fucking sick of it. I get that. And should be respected, definitely. But at the end of the day, they're jokes. I don't want to tell them how to feel. I don't want to tell anybody how to feel. I don't want to do that. Let's, you know, they get to feel how they feel. That's my mantra. You get to feel how you feel. But I don't think society's problems lie in Dave Chappelle's latest Netflix special.
Hey, look, man,
or
I'm
his
not,
last one.
I'm not and mad at the, these the fact people that there's... for... you can... Look, man, you can write the article. You can get as mad as you want. You can talk as much shit as you want. Dude, that's the same as me saying Dave Chappelle can say whatever. You 100% can. You just can't try and stop this person from doing stand-up again. You can't wait for that one text.
Right,
like,
exactly.
And here's the issue, right? Back to Louis C.K. Maybe people didn't like the way he did his stand-up. Maybe it wasn't politically correct enough. Maybe there was a lot of frustrations there. And now all of a sudden they have this thing. Now, obviously, it's pretty egregious. But they have this thing. Bam, take him down. So now people don't like Chappelle. They don't like his stand-up. Mm-hmm. Now they're scouring his life to find anything. Find that moment. And here's the issue. People can be kind of framed for things. People, there can be like not a misunderstanding, but there can be something that maybe he didn't do it, but he gets wrapped up in the story of it, and now boom, he's gone too. And it's a fucking, this is the problem. It's a slippery slope. It just is a slippery slope. But look, we gotta wrap this up. I gotta go meet up with someone. Wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Let's do final thoughts, and then let's give it your rating out of 10. We're end on a rating system. What do you think? Fuck it, yeah.
All right, cool. I give it a 7 out of 10. I would have liked to have seen it. If you're going essay comedy, if you're going to TED Talk type thing, you're trying to prove a point. I guess I would have liked to have seen a little more of a conclude, if we're, you know, like high school English, what's your conclusion? I wouldn't mind a little bit more of that, but I laughed my ass off, especially the last half. I really enjoyed the last half of the special. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was really sharp. His quote about, and I won't give the joke away, but you remember when he was talking about going to Standards and Practices at Comedy Central, and they told him you can't say a certain word. And he's like, well, why can I say this? You remember that? I thought that was as poignant a moment I've seen in stand-up comedy.
It was such a
fucking
good point.
My entire life. I thought it was spectacular. Yep. I thought it was amazing. Equanimity is my favorite stand-up special of all time. That was a 10 out of 10. So he's always fighting equanimity in my mind, which is unfair, but, you know, he doesn't give a fuck about me. Definitely 7 out of 10. I still enjoyed it, and it was... I appreciate that he was fighting for his right to say whatever he wants to say. I appreciate it. I don't think it landed entirely on all three wheels, but I still thought it was pretty
for
good.
For me, a 9.
Your thoughts?
There's some bias in there, too, because I know that I'm enjoying his... It's almost like I'm waiting for the funny.
Sure.
Like, he doesn't have to work at all to build my trust. I know it's Dave Chappelle. Yeah, he's earned it, and I'm right there. And I wish it had gone on just a little bit longer, because I'm selfish. I do like what you said about a bit of a conclusion, but I think that almost makes it too TED Talk-y. I mean, I think it's harder for him to sell us on it was just jokes when he's like, oh, let me wrap everything up and this is how you should think. It's not what he's saying. But it kind of felt like it needed that, or in a weird way. But I'm glad he didn't do it. And
it did.
And, you know, a big part of my score there is that, and you brought this up early and I wanted to mention it, is Rotten Tomatoes. Now, as time has gone on, I think in the last 10 years especially, if you haven't learned to not trust reviews of movies and things like Rotten Tomatoes anymore, then you're not paying attention. Because those numbers used to be fairly similar. They do two scores. They do the tomato meter. Is that what it is? Right? Which is all the critics.
Yeah, it's the critic score.
Then they do the audience score. And the disparity is ridiculous.
Right.
Dave's critic meter is a complete flop at 27%. Audience score.
It's gone down.
99%. It's a fuck. So when you ask me, I just said a 9 out of 10. Well, that's a 90. I would technically bring the audience score down, but he has 99 on
there. Right.
That's the people. The critics don't choose for the people. The people choose. Critics are just trying to make a name for themselves.
No,
and to do that, you can't just have a 5 out of 10 review. This food was 3 stars. Pretty good. Like the omelet. You have to be like, it was either the best thing you've ever had with Anthony Bourdain level narration, or it was the worst fucking thing you've ever had, and that's Gordon Ramsay berating the chef for his filthy kitchen. Right? So that's where I'm at with it. And I loved it, and I can't wait for... I want him to do something every year. Fuck it. I think he's found his groove. I'm so glad that he's back. I'm so glad that he's back.
I want to do 4 a year.
You're a greedy bitch.
I got spoiled. I am a greedy bitch.
I love it.
And I am not afraid.
Well, I'm glad
it.
We did this. And thank you for everybody listening. Obviously, watch it. If you haven't, you probably have. Give us some feedback. Follow us on Joe Rogan Experience Review on Instagram. All the links are in our bio. You can email us. Let us know what you think about his stand-up. If you liked it, if you didn't. You know, we're all just trying to find... not even the answer, but we're just creating a dialogue, you know, and especially if stand-up means a lot to you, or maybe it doesn't mean a lot to you. Maybe you didn't have a lot of experience with Dave Chappelle, and now this is your opening, and you didn't really get it. You didn't really feel it. You know, let us know. It's always cool to read those things. We can't get back
to
everybody, but I do my best, and that's it.
All
so thanks as
welcome.
Always, guys, and cheers, Mark.